Very good morning to all of you. I trust you all had a good first day of camp, good first night, and a first breakfast as well. Now we're going to have our first morning devotion. The theme that I've chosen for this these four mornings is that of the watchman. The theme of our camp is watch and pray. And so there is this idea of watchfulness, of being alert, being vigilant, being ready, being awake. But for most part of this, I believe these morning messages that we'll have is with regards to our own watchfulness, the fact that we have to take heed and watch ourselves, lest we fall into temptation. And because also we know that the Lord is near, and so therefore the Lord calls us to watch. Be very alert, know the signs of the times. And so the watchfulness that we are talking about mostly would be with regards to how we must be alert about the things going around us. We have to be aware of our own selves. But when we look at the Bible, there is also another element of watchfulness that we are told to be involved in, and that is with regards to others, to watch for the people around us. And that is the duty of the watchman, and that is the role that Ezekiel was called to warn people, to watch and to warn people of the impending danger and doom that they were about to face. That was the role of a watchman. In ancient times, this was an especially a very, very important role and duty that cities would have to have. Cities will be built with walls and high towers around them, much like the tower that we see on the banner for our camp. That's a high tower. And a watchman will be a person standing atop this high tower. This word watchman really literally carries this idea of one who leans forward and peers into the distance. That is what a watchman was supposed to be like. He was supposed to stand there and to see and to be alert, on the guard, on ready for any enemy that comes approaching. And you have to have sharp eyes to see and discern what sort of enemy is coming, what are the sizes of the enemy, and what's the distance, and what sort of threat they pose to the city. And so he has to be constantly on the lookout, watching for enemies to come. And that was what a watchman was. And that was something that they all understood, being city dwellers, being people who would rely on the watchman for their safety, for their security. But when Ezekiel was called to be a watchman here, we know that definitely it's not referring to the physical watchman, not the watchman of a city. He was called to be a watchman to Israel, a spiritual watchman. And so in chapter 3, we see the calling of Ezekiel. And in fact, what we see is chapter 1 to chapter 3 is all with regards to the calling that Ezekiel had. And so the first question we have to ask ourselves, we talk about the watchman, right? We know what a watchman is. Am I a watchman? Am I called? Am I called to be a watchman? God was the one that appointed Ezekiel. And Ezekiel chapter 1 to verse 3, chapter 1 to chapter 3, gives us an account of his calling. What was Ezekiel, you may ask? Well, he was, a contemporary of Daniel, also brought into captivity. It was brought there in the second captivity, and he was there preaching to the Israelites in captivity. He was there, and he was called at the riverbanks where all the Jews were held captive, and he was given very, very many visions and dreams with regards to the glory of the Lord, who the Lord was, and what sort of things that the Lord wanted him to do. It was a difficult ministry that he was called to. As much as Jeremiah had a difficult ministry, but Jeremiah was still in Jerusalem, Ezekiel was brought into captivity, and he would, in a sense, preach a parallel message to Jeremiah. Jeremiah was to warn them that they were to repent. If they would not repent, they would be brought away. Ezekiel was there on the other side, having been brought away, and now he was telling them, in a sense, something like, I told you so, right? You didn't repent, and therefore look what is happening to you right now. You have been brought into captivity. But furthermore, he was also to warn them that if you do not repent, Jerusalem will definitely be destroyed. At this point of time of his calling, and from chapter 1 all the way to chapter 33, Jerusalem had not been destroyed yet, because this was one of the earlier captivities. Jerusalem will only be destroyed in 586, about 10 years later. And so the earlier part of his ministry, he was warning them to say that, hey, don't take this lightly. Because at that point of time, Jeremiah, during Jeremiah's time, there were other false prophets that were saying, no, peace and peace will come to you. Oh, you maybe you'll be brought away for just 2 years, and then you'll get to come back. He was there to warn them to say, hey, don't take this lightly. This is a real punishment. It is a judgment by God, and you have to repent. That was Jeremiah's message, and it was a very difficult ministry that he was called to. He would have faced a lot of persecution. During his time, he would face a lot of difficulty and trouble. That is what we are told in Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 3 to verse 4. It pretty much sums up what he was facing. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee unto the children of Israel, to rebellious nation that have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even to this very day. They are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them. And thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord. It was to be a hard ministry. Verse 10 tells us that there was lamentations and mourning and woe. This was what he was to preach to them. Warn them about all the dangers that they will face if they will not turn back to the Lord. And it was an unpopular message, but he had to do it anyway. And he would be killed for his ministry. But what kept him going? What kept him preaching and teaching? What kept him lying on his side for hundreds of days? And on the other side for another many days, you see that in chapter 4, all sorts of difficult and very strange things that he had to do. What kept him going? It was his calling. Three chapters given to us in Ezekiel chapter 1 to chapter 3 gives us his calling. And verse 17 is the specific calling where he is called to be a watchman, where the Lord says unto him, I have made you a watchman. God is the one who appoints. God is the one who calls. God is the one who calls any one of us into any ministry that we are served in. But sometimes we like to use this phrase as kind of a defense or an excuse. We say, I am not called. I am not called. Oh, I do not feel this burden to go and do this or to do that. Oh, I do not feel that the Lord wants me here. And sometimes we use this phrase so much we kind of hide behind it. Oh, I do not feel this divine impression upon my heart to do this or to do that. And so instead of doing anything at all, we just sit back and relax. We say, well, the Lord has not called me yet. But you realize there are some things that every one of us are called to, every single Christian. We are all called to watch and pray. We are called to be watchmen as well. Watchmen in what sense? Spiritual watchmen. Watchmen in the sense that the Bible tells us that we are also out to warn the wicked. That is what the role of Ezekiel was, right? That you send a word of warning to tell the wicked that you are wicked in your ways, then the Lord will judge you. And if you do so and they refuse to repent, well, the blood is not on your hands. But if you don't do it, if you don't fulfill your duty as a watchman, then the Lord says, I will require their blood on your hands. It is a heavy and serious responsibility that we are all in. How do we know that? Are we not all given this great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel? Are we all not called to be witnesses and testimonies to the people around us? This is our duty. This is the most basic duty of every Christian, to bear the name of Christ, to go out and show who Christ is to the people around us, to glorify God with our lives. And all these things come together as part of the duty and the responsibility of a watchman, to be a witness to Christ. And so really, this is our calling as well. We may say, well, I will never have to face the things Ezekiel have to face. I will never have that sort of mission to preach to people in captivity. Of course not. But do we have to warn the wicked? Yes, we do. Do we have to tell people about the glorious message of the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, we do. Do we have to show people through our lives who the Lord is? Again, yes, we do. And so this is a calling that comes to us as well. When the Lord says, I have made thee a watchman, we can understand that, well, we have all been made a watchman as well. But then we ask, who are we called to be a watchman to? Ezekiel is very specific, unto the house of Israel. He was called to be a watchman to the Jews in captivity. He was to tell them and warn them that what you are facing right now is judgment from the Lord. We are not all called to be watchmen unto the city or the people of Israel. But we have our own Israels around us. And who may these people be? The people whom you are in contact with. Every one of these prophets, they had their own special ministry, right? Jeremiah will never be a prophet to these people in captivity. He was a prophet to the people still in Jerusalem. And as they, one by one, they are deported away, there are less and less people, but he continues to preach and teach to those people who remain. Ezekiel will preach to those who are there. Daniel, who was also in Babylon at the same time, but he was not so much to the people in exile. He was there in the palace, right? And his ministry was to the people in the palace, to Nebuchadnezzar, to the kings. Who is our Israel? We have our own specific people around us, people whom we can influence. The sphere of influence that God has placed in our lives. He has called us to different areas of, you know, different places that we come into contact with different people. Our loved ones, our friends, our family, our work colleagues, our classmates. And we have that special relationship with them which no one else in this world has. It is unique to you. You have that number of people that you are in close contact with, you see every day. You have that unique opportunity to talk to them in a way that no one else can talk to because your relationship with the people around you is unique, right? The friends that you have are not the same friends as I have. Yes, maybe we have certain common friends, but even our common friends that we have, our relationship is different. You are of a certain sort of friendship to them, which is not my friendship. We bond on different areas, we bond on different things. And each of us have our own sphere of influence around us that we have been called to. And this is the people that we are to watch for. These are, you see, when the Bible says you are to be a watchman, and then we read all these following descriptions about how the blood will be upon our hand, we fear and say, how can I start? Where can I begin? Oh, there are a whole world of people who are still wicked, who have not heard of Christ. And we look at, wow, the millions and billions that are still untold, and we think, well, how can I be a watchman to all of them? Well, certainly the Lord doesn't call us all to be preachers to millions and billions of people. It is simply beyond our reach. But what we do have is the people around us. That is your Israel. That is the people whom God has called you to be a watchman to warn them. Because you are friends of them. You come into contact with them. And I can't do that. The pastors can't do it for every one of your friends. But we can. Say each of us, we are watchmen to maybe 5, 10, or 20 people, depending on how many people you come into contact with. And if every one of us can fulfill our role, our calling as a watchman, that many more people will be warned. That many more people will hear the gospel. That many more people will know of the fate that awaits them if they do not repent and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our calling. And then we ask, so, well, I'm called, but what am I called to do? I cannot preach and teach the same way that our pastors preach and teach. I do not have that gift or ability. And you say, well, I'm not called, and so maybe I shouldn't. Well, really, the role is not too complex at all. You just look at verse 17. It says, I have made you a watchman unto the house of Israel. Now what are you supposed to do, Ezekiel? He says, therefore, hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. Simple as that, isn't it? What do? You hear the word of God, and then you warn them from God. The word of God only. And that was the duty of every prophet. You don't speak your own words. You don't teach your own thing. You just simply speak and tell people what God wants you to tell them. Preach the word of God. Tell them the word of God. And so firstly, what must we do? We must hear the word, right? We must learn the word. We must know the word of God. And that is what we are here gathered to do. That is what we are gathered every Sunday morning to do. But yet that is also your duty to do every day of your lives, to hear the word of God in your lives, to know, to arm and equip yourself. We cannot always hide behind this thing and say, oh, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. Yes, maybe initially we don't know when we first hear the gospel and we are saved. Yes, our understanding is maybe lacking in some aspects, in some areas. But then the duty of every believer is to what? To study, right? To meditate therein day and night. to know the Word of God, to read the Word of God, to understand it for himself, to know the basics of the gospel. What did I believe in when I was saved? What is this message that is so important that needs to go out to the world of Jesus Christ and him crucified? And so we must first hear the warnings for ourselves, know the warnings, and then what? And then go out and give them warning from me, from God, to tell them that, hey, this is what God wants us. We don't have to be too well-schooled and versed in all the areas of apologetics to be able to defend on every count. Not so much of all these things. We don't have to know, you know, exegesis and how to interpret it in a very, very technical way. We have the Holy Spirit to guide us. Now, we know what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross. We know, right? We know how a person can be saved to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. We know. And therefore, we have to go out and speak God's word. The message that God has given to us, we then go out and give it to the people around us. Not our own wits, our own wisdom, our own talent, our ability. No. In fact, later on, at the end of this chapter, God will tell Ezekiel, verse 26 and verse 27. He says, I will make thy tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth, and thou shalt be dumb. You will not be able to speak your own words. You will keep quiet. You shall not be to them a reprover, for they are rebellious house. You wait for my command. And when I tell you to go, you go. But not with your own words, not with your own words of rebuke that you want to bring to them. Verse 27 says what? When I speak with thee, I will open thy mouth, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God. That's all. Thus saith the Lord. Whatever God speaks to you, whatever God tells you, this was the mission of the prophets. You repeat to them word for word. You don't let a single word drop. No, you say everything which God has told you, and that is it. And thus saith the Lord, he that heareth, let him hear. He that forbeareth, let him forbear, for they are the rebellious house. Again, our concern is not so much for the results, but is more of what we do. The results, we leave it up to God. If they will hear, let them hear. That was what we see in the following verses. Some of them will listen. Some of them will take heed and repent. Some of them won't. But what must we do? We must go out. That is a simple duty of those who are called. What am I called to do? Simply to warn. To warn. Now we're going to look at more aspects of this in the following days as we look at what are the specific duties of the watchman and what is the message of the watchman. What are we supposed to say? Yes, we know we warn. We hear the word of God. We speak the word of God. But specifically, what? We're going to learn more as we come and look deeper into this text and also in Ezekiel chapter 33 about what this role of the watchman is really all about. But for this morning, let us just remember that it is our calling. It is something that we cannot shy away from. We cannot just throw our hands back and say, oh, you know, I can't. No, we can. The Bible says we can. The Bible has called all of us to do so. And as we think and ponder about this idea of watching, remember that watching is not just for yourself, but watching to the friends and loved ones around you as well. Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for this morning and this day of messages and activities that thou would bring us through. We thank thee for this first message that we've heard, and we pray, Lord, as we consider this idea of a watchman, may you impress upon our hearts this duty, this responsibility, this wonderful privilege that we have to go out to be witnesses for thee. We pray that thou grant us the courage, strengthen us, help us to fulfill this role in our lives, that the people around us, they too may hear of the wonderful, glorious message of who thou art, of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And may we fulfill our duty, our calling as a watchman. We pray for the rest of this morning and the activities ahead, that thou also guide us. May the Holy Spirit be with us. Teach us from thy holy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.